morning. Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we are at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later in the program, Rob DeWalt will be with us, speaking of the art, and Christy Hengst will be here. She has done an amazing project. She's made a porcelain flock of birds, and they've been traveling all around the world. And she's back, and she's going to disperse the flock, maybe even to one of you lucky listeners. We shall see. We are going to be talking in just a moment to Gray DeYoung, but first I want to just remind people that this is the KSFR Fall Fun Drive, and we are just wrapping up, but we would like to go out with a bang. So let's bang this morning and get a $1,000 goal on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Let's hit the $1,000 mark, and we're going to make it worth your while. Gray DeYoung is doing a performance. It was this week and last weekend at the Armory for the Arts. So tonight and tomorrow at 8 o'clock, she'll be doing this one-woman performance, which you're about to hear about, on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. And you can get a pair of tickets to that by making a contribution, a modest contribution, to KSFR by calling 428-1393. I saw the performance last year. I have seen it again this year, and it is absolutely wonderful. It is really worth going to. So give a call right now. And if you're a brave soul, you can make the call before you even hear about it. And just on my word that it's worth going tonight or tomorrow at the Armory for the Arts, call 428-1393, 428-1393. So why support KSFR? Well, you've been hearing from Dan and Bill and from all of our friends who are volunteers of public radio that this is a resource that is really worth keeping and not squandering. And when you think about the things in your life that are worthwhile, KSFR is one of them. It comes to you seemingly for free, but it's actually not free. And the way we do listener-supported radio is that our listeners support us. So please support us right now, 428-1393. We're going to talk now to Gray DeYoung, 428-1393, 428-1393. I'm delighted now to welcome to the program Gray DeYoung. Her solo performance is called Burst, and it's happening this Friday and Saturday, September 24th and 25th at 8 o'clock at the Armory for the Arts here in Santa Fe. And this is the second year she's been here. She was here last year under the name of Shannon DeYoung, and now your name is Gray. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Welcome back. Thank you. It's great to be back.
So this is a slightly revised version of a one-woman show that you did last year. It's absolutely stunning. It was then, it is now. And it's a kind of autobiographical piece about you living in San Francisco, being diagnosed with bipolar 2. Tell us about that process of observing your life, editing it, and making it into a performance piece.
Yeah, it was an interesting process because a lot of it was done in the moment. So even while I was living in San Francisco, while I was going through these things, I think that I was starting to write this. And I perhaps didn't even know it at the time, but I mean, I'm a writer, I'm an avid writer, I can't not write. And so even during that time in San Francisco, I was, of course, at times staying up till 3 a.m. writing things. But you know,
that's called the manic phase.
That was the hypomania. But even just in general, I just cannot not write. And so I was, you know, writing all sorts of things. I started this blog. I was doing all these wacky creative experiments and social experiments that I talk about in the show. I was just doing free writes. I had sort of just rediscovered Natalie Goldberg. I was like doing free writes, and I was, you know, at one point I had joined a creative writing group. So I was writing all these things, and when I went back and looked at a lot of this writing, I could see that I was sort of searching out, teasing out these themes, and especially as I was going through them, I was journaling, I was capturing a lot of this stuff, and I had written two drafts of a novel, which eventually turned into this show, and so a lot of the things actually were really fresh and raw at that time. In fact, there are lines that are in the show now that I lifted directly from actual journaling that I did at that time, you know, especially during some of the sort of crazy, out of control, hypomanic stuff that goes on in San Francisco. There are actually lines right out of my journals because I could not have written them any more accurately. And then the second half of that was coming away from it and then reflecting upon it. And that's where I got a lot of the perspective and was able to sort of create more of this arc and see the meaning in it and pull it together in a way that made sense and created some kind of meaning for me and I believe sort of more of a universal meaning.
Well, and making something like that into a coherent work of art is a real production that goes far beyond what anybody can do in journaling, and it is a very successful piece in that way. But I imagine that in itself took a lot of experimenting and working with a director and so on.
Absolutely, yeah. It was, you know, it's like the age-old notion of you have to write 800 pages for a 50-page story. You know, it was that, you know, copious amount of expression that then you later on hone down, polish. You know, you take this huge lump of clay, you punch it and you pull it, and then eventually now you're taking down your fine tooth comb and you're etching the fine details into it. And that's when, you know, working with a director comes into play, is having someone to bounce that off of you to sort of guide you through the process to make it more of a cohesive piece. And then, of course, the show itself, which is a whole other aspect than just the script. I mean, just producing the script was a process in and of itself, and then taking it to stage and now working with the acting and the craft of developing these characters, even if the character is myself, I think there still needs to be an attention to that as a character. You know, who is this person and how does she evolve, and as well as all the other characters in the
Which
play.
Which is the theme of the play in the first place.
Of course, so, yeah.
It's just such an interesting thing. I mean, here you are in, what, your early 20s, super brilliant, fun, hipster girl in San Francisco, making lots of money, working in the, working in a great company with great people, living in this great loft, everything's great. And there's this kind of crazy tension of what, I mean, it's, you know, do you call it mental illness?
Right.
Do you call it societal disorder? I mean, one of the many themes of the play is that, yeah, you can diagnose something as a mental illness and you can say, oh, it runs in the family. But also there's so much of an imbalance in society, which is reflected in what we see in this character who you are playing and who is you.
Yeah. No, I'm glad that you picked up on that, Mary Charlotte, because, you know, in the end, I didn't really want to be too heavy-handed with or opinionated with what I was, you know, quote-unquote saying with this show. I really just wanted to present my experience and present a piece that people would take from it what they would, because I think it will mean different things to different people. But absolutely, I mean, the experience for me, and it's still a question. I don't know that any of us can really ever answer it as to what is, you know, chicken or the egg, what's the cause of what. And certainly in the at the time that I was experiencing it and with further reflection, now that I have distance, I don't think my lifestyle was sustainable. I mean, you know, I had built up this idea of who I thought I should be and the kind of life I thought I should be living. And, you know, on paper it maybe looked great, but I don't really know many people that can work 80 hours a week and sleep 3 or 4 hours, you know, go out and have cocktails on a Wednesday and wake up the next day and, you know, have cool, fashionable clothes and keep up this appearance and this facade. And, I mean, basically, yeah, like do this whole kind of I'm too cool for school lifestyle, you
all
know,
the time.
All the time. And I think that I think it's a natural thing for anyone, if they're not adhering to something authentic within themselves, that something inside is going to speak, something inside is going to want to burst out of them and drive them in a direction that's more authentic. I mean, for me, so much of this was exploring what authenticity even means. What does it mean to actually be truthful and be honest? I mean, I think honesty can have so many different levels, and it starts with whether or not we're honest with ourselves. And I absolutely believe that so much of my, you know, difficulty that sort of had to push me out of San Francisco and onto this journey, you know, moving home, traveling through Vietnam, exploring meditation. And it was because I was searching for this true self and I was ignoring it. I absolutely believe that it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me was to lose everything I thought I had worked for. Because I would be living a very different life right now, and I don't think I would be as fulfilled.
We're talking to Gray DeYoung. Her solo performance is called Burst. It's at the Armory for the Arts this weekend.
And you can get tickets to Burst by calling right now, 428-1393. We would like to thank Rachel Winston, who called. Thank you so much, Rachel. And we would like to thank two anonymous listeners who called. 428-1393, as always, if you call and make a contribution to KSFR, you do not have to say your name, have your name read on the air. You can call anonymously, you can give online, you can give by calling, 428-1393. But above all, we are asking you to, let's take this fundraiser out with a bang. We are very close to our goal, and we know we've been fundraising for a little while now, and some people are saying, hey, when are you going to get back to your programming? This is the programming. What you are hearing right now on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe is what you hear every day, 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year. We work very hard here at KSFR to bring you the best public radio, the best community radio that we possibly can. 428-1393 is the way we do that. Let's get a report from the control room.
Hey, Mary Charlotte. You started out with some phone ringing, and right now they're quiet, but we're a little over 80,000, and we're doing well, and we want to continue to do well. We want to show our support for public radio station, our radio stations. Boy,
right. Blah.
I'm amazed, Mary Charlotte. You just keep going, and I'm getting like a broken record almost. But you're really great at this, and I commend you, and I hope that our listeners out there commend you by supporting us financially right now.
428-1393 and score a pair of tickets to this excellent performance. I think an interview can't quite do it justice because although we can talk about it, you actually have to see it. Gray DeYoung is a wonderful dancer and poet and speaker and writer and performer. And so check it out. Get a pair of tickets. Call 428-1393. Support public radio. We have a $1,000 goal. I'm hoping that we can get there. If you like the Radio Cafe and you want to support it, then give a call right now, because the fund drive is going to be winding down. We want to wrap it up with as big a splash as we can. So add your droplets to the splash, 428-1393. And we're going to go back to Gray DeYoung and give the phone number just one more time, 428-1393.
It also speaks, this performance, I think, to the healing powers of home, of nature, of travel. And when you compare those things to drugs, they're at least as powerful, if not much, much more powerful.
Yeah. And in fact, at one point in the show, I even question, you know, I'm starting to feel better, and I have to question why. You know, it's hard to know, because you can't sort of have a control subject on your life. You know, everything's happening simultaneously.
Right.
And to be able to know what the one cause of something is, you have no idea, because everything's thrown into the mix. So I absolutely, you know, at the same time that I left San Francisco, moved home, started meditating, started reading, you know, books on Zen and other various philosophies, and started, you know, lithium, and started, you know, getting regular sleep and having a better diet. And I mean, all these things which are fundamental. And now for certainly myself, and I would imagine most human beings, that are essential to sort of maintaining, you know, a balanced life, they all sort of happen simultaneously. So for me to be able to point to one thing and say, it was this or this that changed and that made everything all better, is impossible, but I think it absolutely brings up that
idea. I mean, that's what's great, is the performance piece brings those things up, and so you get to go home and, you know, you're in the car talking about them with the people that you went to the play with, which I love when that happens. What was it like to perform this piece at the beginning? Now, I want to
qualify my question. I don't think that art is or should be therapeutic, but at the same time, I would think that on some level, it would be, if not therapeutic, somehow cathartic to do a play like this about your own life, at least at the beginning.
Absolutely. And I think that every time I perform it, I would be dishonest if I said that there wasn't some piece of catharsis, only in that I have to revisit time and again, authentically, what these experiences meant to me. But I think that initially, the process of creating the script, when I worked with Tanya Taylor Rubenstein and sat down just to go through what story did I want to tell, that process of getting it down and working through it and having to visit these things, I think for the first time, that was incredibly cathartic. And then once I had it down, to be able to move away from it, which of course was sort of the healing process. And then once I was able to move away from it and look at it now no longer as, catharsis, but now as a work of art, and now me being an artist and being able to create a piece, then it turned into something very different. And even I think the difference from performing it last year to performing it this year, I've spent this last year doing a lot of improv, action theater, and other kinds of theater classes, sort of working on my craft, continuing to write, and to explore now what makes a script a good script, what makes performance a good performance, and not just being about getting in touch with the journey, but also looking at it from a more craft point of view as well, and bringing those two things together.
So after a year, I mean, I saw it. You were here last year, right?
Yeah, it was almost a year ago. I think it was last August.
Okay, and then we had you on the radio, and I saw the piece, and I laughed and cried. It was, I mean, a very moving piece. I think so many people who go can either see themselves or someone they know in it to some extent somewhere, you know, which I think is one of the strengths of this piece. But, you know, my life has changed quite a lot in the last year. Yours presumably has too, yet you're doing pretty much the same piece. And so, first of all, how do you keep up the energy, and what is it like to be doing it now?
Right. Yeah, it feels very different. I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, you know, so where are you at with all that stuff? And it's interesting because at the time I first brought it here, I was still mainly just coming out of that time in my life where I was living at home and had been mainly traveling and living a little bit more of this bohemian lifestyle. And since then, I've actually, at the beginning of the year, I started a new full-time job. I'm back to corporate America. I'm, you know, back in an urban setting. I'm back, you know, sort of living a faster paced life. And it's been a fascinating process for me to see myself finding that balance. So it's actually been a continuation for me of that story of what's the next chapter after that story ends? Where does it, you know, how does it continue? And so it's been great for me just to see it all come together and to see that it's possible. I think even at the end of last year, there's this part of me that I think I had a real fear of whether or not I'd ever be able to return to a life that was similar, but sustainable. And so this last year for me has been sort of that journey. And so there's been definitely a difference. And to go back and address your question about how I maintain that, I think my practice of, you know, whether it's meditation or mindfulness in general, is the only way that I can do this again and make it authentic. You know, I think that when I'm doing the show, I have to stay so present with every moment, and I have to be in that space again and to revisit exactly what that moment felt like. And I think it's all there. You know, we carry in us our past. We carry, you know, many would say all of human history within us. And I think if we're present, the spontaneous self would provide what's there, what's authentic.
We're talking to Gray DeYoung about her performance piece called Burst. So you are, among other things, starting to perform this piece or a version of it to different audiences. Aren't you doing a group that's dealing with mental illness?
I am, yeah. I'm going to be, I was asked to do the be the keynote speaker at the Consumer Wellness Conference. That's a peer-run conference on mental health.
Keynote performer?
Keynote performer. Yes, I know. They invited me, and they said, well, we want you to do the keynote, be the keynote speaker. And I said, well, I'm not really speaking, but yeah, it's I think that they wanted me to come do the show. It's sort of it's a condensed version, but it's certainly a performance rather than just a speech. And yeah, and I was honored to, I was blown away that they wanted me to come do it, because for me it's the beginning of seeing how this piece can be many things to many people. It can be it can be an art piece, it can be inspiring, it can be you know, advocacy work, it can be service. And so for me that's been really satisfying to that's the other difference I think for this year for me is coming into more of this place of service and realizing that the show for me is a way of you know, giving back and being of service, because I feel like that's what I have to offer. So yeah, I'll be doing it at the Consumer Wellness Conference in Albuquerque, happening the 29th and 30th.
What is that, consumer wellness?
It's consumer is the term that they use to refer to individuals who are receiving mental health services, and when they say it's peer run, it's put on by UNM and State of New Mexico, but I believe that. Many of the facilitators and those who are running the workshops are individuals who also deal with mental health issues.
You know, it's really striking in your piece, or at least it was to me, that for a lot of things, I mean, I'm sure there's many exceptions to this, but there is kind of a continuum between, again, I mean, I'm not even totally comfortable medicalizing these things so much, but the continuum between mental health and mental illness, you know, mood swings. To what extent are those the vicissitudes of being human, and to what extent are those a disease or an illness?
Absolutely, absolutely. And this is something that, again, I will question all of my life, because it really comes down to drawing a line. I mean, you know, even... And again, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a psychiatrist, all I know is my own experience. And I believe that there's value in different disciplines. Every I think, take, whether it's Buddhism or Western psychiatry or, you know, Eastern medicine, they all have their perspective, and I think that they all are useful for different things. But certainly for me, it's been questioning that. You know, if I'm a particularly dramatic individual, does that mean there's a problem with me? And I mean, I know many people that have far more dramatic mood swings than I've ever experienced. And it's really a lack of a label that means you don't have a mental illness or you do. And I mean, I had, you know, my boyfriend at the time had said to me one time, he said, "You're not bipolar, you're an artist."
Well,
you know,
yeah.
Do you know how many you know, expressive individuals should, quote unquote, should have been put on, you know, medication. And what are we going to do? Temper everyone who happens to live outside this, you know, expected boundaries or, you know, boxes of what society sort of expects of us? And it's a question. It's a conversation that I think could go on, you know, to infinity about where's that line?
Yeah, and I mean, there's also this question of stereotyping artists as these crazy, wild, moody people, which is also another stereotype.
Absolutely, that's true too. Yeah, and you know, I even also at the time, I was having a really difficult time accepting this this title of, you know, being bipolar. I couldn't sit with it, and my therapist at the time actually said, you know what? I don't care if you call it bipolar. I don't care if you call it mood swings. I don't care if you call it, you know, being an artist, being emotional, experience life intensely. I don't care if you call it Fred. Whatever it is.
Take your meds.
This is, you know. Actually, she was much more understanding that. She was like, but yes, take care of yourself was her bottom point. That, you know, I don't care whatever you call yourself. You know, if you are a human being that needs 8 hours of sleep, that's just what you need to do. If to take care of yourself, you need to not drink coffee, then that's what you need to do. If you are, you know, and to start saying, oh, well, you're bipolar, or you have an anxiety disorder, or you have, and I certainly think that there's a place and a time and a value for having those titles as well, because otherwise at some point, you know, how do you talk about these things, and where do you draw the line? But for me, I've come to a place in my life where I kind of don't really care, to be perfectly honest, whether or not I do or don't have bipolar, or, you know, for me, it's, this is who I am and this is my life, and I just need to take care of myself, and I need to live my life as authentically and compassionately to myself, as well as others, that I can.
And it seems like you have found the tools to keep yourself balanced, and that there's more than one thing, that there was no one magic bullet.
Absolutely. I to this day think that my bipolar, or whatever this thing in me that finds itself moving me toward depression, or moving me toward anxiety, or moving me toward sort of this frantic, manic energy, is actually just my inner guide, is actually just my inner self directing me in it, you know. And if I'm moving in a certain direction, saying like, you know, oh, I just really am not feeling very good and I'm so tired, and it's like, well, wake up, what's going on? Are you taking care of yourself? Are you meditating? Are you laughing? Are you joyous? Are you seeing friends? Are you reading? Or are you spending 10 hours a day in front of a computer, not exercising, being hard on yourself, having expectations of yourself? And conversely, you know, are you running around like a mad woman, spending all day on Facebook and Twittering and emailing and pulling yourself in a million directions, and, you know, being attached to your job and not giving yourself a break and having people demand you? I mean, I really feel like when I find myself in these places of either depression or hypomania, it's just a call for me to wake up and look at what situation I'm putting myself in. And often it's easily remedied. I mean, it really is. The moment that I acknowledge where I am and what I need, it's really often the moment that everything turns around.
Grey DeYoung has a solo performance called Burst, and it's happening this Friday and Saturday, the 24th and 25th. That's tonight and tomorrow, the 24th and 25th, at the Armory for the Arts here in Santa Fe. Before we go, can you say a nice word or two about public radio and why people should support KSFR right now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have my home stations of KQED and KPFA back home. And I think, oh, geez, I'm gonna have an opportunity to get political. But, I mean, just I think having a radio station or a place where it really can be about the community, it can be about the public being heard and represented, and being, I think, connected to the community in which it grows from, is incredibly important, because I think you have something that's too distant and too high level. And speaking of authenticity, I don't know that it can be as connected to the community as public.
Go public radio. and above all, as you're saying, not just public radio, but community radio.
I think it's about community, yeah. I mean, I think that that's an important thing. The community is a reflection of who we are, and speaking of what we surround ourselves with and the lifestyle we put ourselves in.
Grey DeYoung, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And don't forget to call 505-428-1393. You can get tickets to this marvelous performance that's happening tonight and tomorrow at the Armory for the Arts. And you can support public radio. And Mary Lynn, who is in the control room doing everything right. We have some thank yous.
We do indeed. But first I have to say, I really got a lot out of Grey's, the interview you did with Grey DeYoung, and want to just ditto that, you know, saying things as they are, as who we are. And we certainly are telling folks out there who we are. And so... Well, and her mentioning my hometown to KPFA and
you're a California girl.
Yeah, exactly. But it also reminded me how every public radio station is different. It's very reflective of the community.
It's so true.
It's wonderful, folks. It's worth every penny that you give us. 428-1393. We have to thank... did we thank Marty Rosenberg for calling?
No, Marty Rosenberg. Yay.
Thank you, Marty. He's one of our board members and a great supporter of KSFR. Lisa, thank you.
Thank you.
And Sai Husbatki, who has been a frequent contributor during this fund drive.
Thank you so much. I love it when people call multiple times. You know, they might give $20 once and then $20 another time, and pretty soon they've
given $60 in three installments over the course of one fund drive. I love it.
And I hear the phone ringing right now.
Yay, 428-1393. Part of the reason that we take these breaks is to give the phone number, and part of it is to give you an opportunity to call so that you don't miss a moment of this programming. 428-1393. We're just about halfway to our $1,000 goal for this hour. Rob DeWalt is on deck, and we're going to hear from some of our beloved underwriters right now. And so call 428-1393, and we'll be back with Speaking of the Arts. Rob DeWalt is here, and Christy Hengst is here. So just give us a moment, make that call, get us to our $1,000 goal for this day on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe, and we'll be right back. And we are back in the Santa Fe Baking Company. It is the KSFR Fund Drive, 428-1393, going for our $1,000 goal here on the Radio Cafe. I'd like to welcome Rob DeWalt. He is with the Pasatiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican, and he's with us here speaking of the arts.
Morning.
Welcome. Good morning.
I'm so relaxed. I just got back from vacation.
Oh, how wonderful. Where'd you go?
Wonderful. Went to Durango and Pagosa Springs.
Oh, nice. A little bit of hot spring action?
We were there. We didn't do the springs. My partner fished along the river. I did some thrift store shopping.
Nice.
And got some awesome records. Got a 1955 LP by Jackie Gleason with cover art by Salvador Dali for a buck.
Oh, my Lord.
For a buck.
They know not what they parted with.
Yeah, but we rode our mountain bikes all over. I got my first tan in 10 years, so... So now I'm exhausted. I'm glad to be back at work.
Well, it's good to have you here speaking of the arts. And Christy Hengst is here. She is an artist, and her piece is called Birds in the Park. And this is a wonderful, would you call it installation?
It's a traveling public art project that, involves the installation of a bunch, or basically a flock of porcelain birds that have text and images printed on them. And they land in different places. They've been flying around for about 2 years, started out here in Santa Fe, and are ending here in Santa Fe. Today and tomorrow are the last two landings of this project.
And literally flying around, you've taken this flock of birds overseas, you've taken them to Europe, to Galapagos?
That's the farthest they've been, yeah.
Yeah, among all the other crazy species there.
And they landed about 25 different locations here in Santa Fe. And would pop up every few days in the spring of 2009, and then started to fly further afield. And they were, they've been on beaches in California, up and down the coast, and they've been in a sculpture garden in New Orleans, and in Central Park in New York, and in front of the UN headquarters. And
they're inanimate objects. They're porcelain birds, and yet somehow they seem like they have kind of a life of their own. As an artwork.
It's interesting, I think it's they have the gesture. They're not realistically portrayed as birds, but they have a kind of gesture that makes them look, especially, when they're positioned in certain ways, like birds. And I think it's kind of the human mind wants to complete the picture. So very, very often people will come running up to me and saying, "Oh my God, I thought you were a bird whisperer." Because they seem real.
I know. Uh-huh. When I look at these pictures, they look like birds. And when you look at them close up, they have these kind of indigo patterns and texts on them. And their heads don't look like real bird heads. But they're absolutely wonderful. And today and tomorrow, actually, they're already there right now. They're at the Rail Yard Park here in Santa Fe. And they'll be there from now until 6 in the evening, today and tomorrow, right here in Santa Fe. And then you will be talking and giving a slideshow about this project on Thursday, the 30th of September at 6 o'clock at Tipton Hall. That's part of the Santa Fe Art Institute, and that is on the campus of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design, formerly known as the College of Santa Fe.
Right. Uh-huh. And I think that'll be a really nice opportunity to kind of look back and tell some of the interesting and funny stories that have happened over the course of this project. And, of course, I've got pictures of them in a lot of beautiful places, or interesting places. I mean, one of the things that is important about this project is the content also. It's not just any text and images that are on the backs of the birds, but it started from me kind of saving up articles from the lead-up to the Iraq War. obsessively, and then, you know, eventually making silk screens from those. And so it started in that way, about that decision to go to war, and then started to expand to consider other wars. There's a writer here in town named Tim Origer, who's a Vietnam vet, and it includes some of his stuff from his time in Vietnam and other stuff from World War II Germany. And then, interestingly enough, I started to include, first of all, photographs of my children, and then it became this. At first, I was kind of nervous about mixing the these kind of
the personal and
the very personal, yeah. And so close to something that, in a way, was so ugly. But then, at a certain point, I realized that's actually what it's about, and kind of looking at these things all together. So there's also poetry, recipes, love letters, daily calendars, things from life, and really the good parts of life that are placed right next to and layered together with, you know, other choices that have been made about war, for instance.
The installation is called Birds in the Park, and one very, very kind thing that Christy Hengst has done is she has offered us one of the birds, because now that the installation is over, the flock is dispersing, and she has offered us a porcelain bird for our fun drive. So these are real beautiful works of art. If anybody would like to make a donation of $300 or more and have one of these birds, they can call 428-1393 and get one of them. And if you want to see what we're talking about here, you can go to christyhengst.com, christyhengst, christyhengst.com, or birdsinthepark.blogspot.com, and check these out. And it would be wonderful if one of our listeners would be able to keep one of these in their house. Heck, I'd love to have one of those.
Yeah, and they're
wonderful.
They basically, each bird, now that they're going out into the world, they come with a hand-forged clawfoot sculpture stand made by my husband, Helmut Hillenkamp, who's a blacksmith. And they are, each one is completely different. So if somebody decides to donate to KSFR and get a bird, then I will also, they can come to the park either today or tomorrow to see them in person, to pick out which one they would like, or they can email me and we can, I can do it by photographs. But basically, I also really want to say what a great, great radio station KSFR is, and particularly this show, The Radio Cafe, I really love listening to.
Thank you.
And I think it's just, I particularly really like that you guys do it in the cafe, and that it just kind of brings...
You like blender noise.
Yeah, right. I think it really brings it's kind of part of that interweaving of community that... is one of the great things about being here in Santa Fe.
Christy Hengst is an artist whose installation Birds in the Park is today and tomorrow at the Santa Fe Rail Yard Park. So you can just go downtown and poke around until you find it.
Yeah, and it's at the point, basically the point of the park up where near the farmer's market in Site Santa Fe.
Okay. Yeah. Christy, thanks so much for being with us, and thanks for your kind words about KSFR and your offer of this lovely bird.
Okay.
Rob DeWalt.
Howdy.
Howdy. We've only got 15 minutes left. The phones are a little quiet, ladies and gentlemen.
Chirp, chirp.
428-1393 is the number. Let's reach our $1,000 goal. We got about halfway there. 428-1393. Let's go out with a big, huge noise.
Totally.
The noise of the phone ringing.
That $300, you know, for a porcelain bird, that would put you pretty close.
That put us very close.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
Not quite. And it wouldn't, you know, really... be bothersome to make more than $1,000.
It would not be bothersome.
No,
oh,
no.
No. It would be unbothersome.
It would be a wonderful Friday surprise.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
428-1393 is the number. So let's talk about what's happening this weekend. Lots of stuff. We talked about Gray DeYoung and her play Burst at the Armory.
That's
which
correct.
You can still get tickets for. We have all the tickets in the world available for tonight and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. There's tons of events going on in town. Of course, this is crescendo of the Santa Fe Wine and Chili Fiesta. All kinds of stuff going on with that. Grand Tasting, of course, sold out eons ago. That's on Saturday. But there's still some events, tastings, seminars, things like that. If you go to, I believe it's santafewineandchili.org, you can check out whatever's left on the schedule that hasn't been eaten up yet.
Right.
But I'm excited. I'm going to go to the Grand Tasting.
You're a foodie.
I'm a well, we don't like that word.
Oh,
we
don't, foodies don't like the word foodie?
No. Food editors don't like the word foodie. Or at least they shouldn't.
Why?
It's banned at the New Mexican now.
Why? What are you supposed to say?
I don't know. You know,
You're
supposed to say a food enthusiast or a, you know.
Yeah, the PC thing is to just add as many syllables as you can to a perfectly good small word.
Well, foodie to me is just so bloggy. I don't know. I just don't like it. I don't know. But there's tons of other stuff going on in town besides the wine and foodie festival. I always like to promote these, the Jewel Box Cabaret drag shows that happen over there at the Silver Starlight Lounge.
Yeah.
There's one on Friday at 9 p.m. There's a cover. And I believe there's also one on Saturday, two nights in a row. Tons of great openings, too. Meow Wolf has got something going on. They have Bonfires. It's a group installation. And they have sculpture and paintings by Brandon Benning. There's a reception tonight from, 5 to 9 p.m. And that's over there on, 5 to 9 p.m. And that's over there at 1800 2nd Street, right there on the corner of 2nd Street and Hopewell.
Yeah.
And those guys do great installations.
They do wonderful work. I love them.
They have I think, probably the funkiest space in town, and a lot like the radio, this radio station, they're pretty community driven.
Yeah,
they get themselves out there.
They're eclectic, mm-hmm. and they're not doing it for the money.
Right. They're
That's
doing
like
it.
Us.
They're doing it for the love of art and community.
428-1393, reminding you 428. I always say too fast.
428-1393.
We should do Star Trek voiceovers. Okay, Santa Fe University of Art and Design faculty reading. Porochista Kakpur and Emily Rapp will be doing a reading of their work, literary faculty at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design, Tuesday, the 28th of September at 7 o'clock at O'Shaughnessy Space, which is in Benildis Hall on that lovely campus. For more information, 473-6208.
You know, since their name is longer now, we have to come up with something else to call it.
Yeah, just like foodie.
So I was just thinking, like, it's S-F-U-A-D, but I think if we just called it S-F-U, people would know what we were talking about.
S-F-U-A-D, SWAD.
SWAD. I'll meet you at the quad.
I'll
meet you on the quad at SWAD.
Okay.
Georgia O'Keeffe Museum on Johnson Street is having a art... O'Keefeana Art and Art Materials show that's running all the way through May 2011. There's a story in today's Pasatiempo on page 32. Interesting stuff. Speaking of the rail yard and these beautiful doves, Axel Contemporary, the mobile gallery, is going to be hanging out this weekend. There's going to be a reception tonight from 4 to 7 p.m. And you can just look for it. It's an aluminum van. It used to be a Twinkie delivery truck. Used to belong to an Elvis impersonator.
A Twinkie delivery truck. That's, oh my goodness.
Yeah, and these are really great guys. They're doing, I believe this is their first installation. It's called Sunflower Seed, a vehicular installation. So yeah, I guess it is an installation. And that's through Sunday, September 26th. Go around the rail yard district and just kind of look for this big, shiny van.
Sounds like you can't miss it.
No. No, you can't.
Okay, so other things that are happening, the Santa Fe Concert Association, Tuesday, September 28th, 7:30, mezzo-soprano Suzanne Menser.
Yes.
And in recital with pianist Brian Connolly, and that's at the United Church of Santa Fe on Arroyo Chamiso.
You know, there's a great book event today. Martha Weigel, I believe that's how you pronounce her name, wrote this great book. It's from Museum of New Mexico Press. It's called Alluring New Mexico, Engineered Enchantment, 1821 to 2001. She's having a signing and book discussion tonight at 6 p.m. at Collected Works.
Nice.
This is a great book. It's kind of the story of how New Mexico framed itself and how it sort of got its identity through its tourist trade, going all the way back when they used to call it the land without law.
Right.
And leading all the way up to 2001.
And we have a report from the control room.
Oh, Mary Charlotte, the phones are ringing off the hook. I've been in there answering. We had a taker on the ceramic bird, Christopher. Christopher Rocha and David Rosen, who are home team Santa Fe.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And they want to know if Christy is going to be, how often, how, I guess they want to meet her. So,
well,
and also, do you have another, does she have another bird? Because we have another one who'd like one.
I don't know, so we will have to find out. But 428-1393, 428-1393, and she's has already left the cafe, so we'll have to find out.
Well,
but get the person's phone number, and we can call. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, 428-1393. So we are, I think, getting close to our $1,000 goal for this hour on the Radio Cafe, so that's what it's all about, 428-1393 is the number. Okay, what else is happening? I know there's so much else, and I have it right here.
There's tons of stuff. The Red Elvises are playing on Saturday at Corazon, really eclectic rock band. That's on Guadalupe Street. You can get tickets at the Lenzic, and you can get them at the door. They're cheaper if you get them at the Lenzic today.
And Marcia Keegan was on the air not too long ago talking about her new book, Taos Pueblo, It's Sacred Blue Lake. It was originally published 40 years ago. It's the 40th anniversary of that, the publication of that book and the return of Blue Lake to Taos Pueblo. Well, the book finally came in, so she's going to have a book signing tonight from 5 to 7 at the Silver Sun Gallery at 656 Canyon Road. You can go to silversun-sf.com.
Cool. How much time?
We've got another
couple minutes?
5 or 6 minutes.
Okay. Little Wing at the Candyman on Sunday. Ambient music with Pillars and Tongues, Aaron Martin, Simple Spells, and Jason Corder, a.k.a. Off the Sky. Jason Corder is going to be performing via video cast. And this is over there at the Candyman. So you should go check it out. It's at 8 p.m. on Sunday. There's a small cover charge for that. But that's a lot of music for a small cover charge.
And Peco Studio Art Tour, 22 artists.
Yeah.
Saturday and Sunday, today and tomorrow, 10 to 5. Peco's Glorietta and Roe.
Oh.
Contact 670-7045 for more information. And there's website for maps and information on the artists at PecosStudioTour.com.
You know, it'd be really cool on Sunday. They also have a farmer's market out there. You should stop by. They have some great potatoes. There's a guy out there that's got awesome fava beans. It's at Canella's Restaurant on Highway 50 as you're driving into Pecos on the left-hand side.
I wrote you a limerick with lots of things that rhyme with fava.
I got it. I think I got it.
You did. It's on your Facebook.
I think I did. Oh, forgive me, fava, for I have sinned. Santa Fe Brewing Company tonight at 8 p.m. Now, if I pronounce this wrong, I apologize. I wrote about them this week in my Soundwave column. Lea Doris, I believe, is what they're called. They were formed in 1998. They're sort of this great sort of combination of electro and indie rock. And these guys have really matured a lot in the last 4 or 5 years. And it's an interesting show to have at the Brewing Company. And you guys should go and check them out. They're from Albuquerque, you know, support local music.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Ampersand is having an open house tomorrow, and everybody's invited to tour their site and join a volunteer project, and it is a completely sustainable community, and they teach sustainable living. It's from 10 to 2:30, and there's a potluck. There's a tour at 3, and then a potluck from 4 to 6. For more information, you can call 780-0535.
Pop Gallery on Water Street is having a show, Pop Goes to the Dogs 2010. I think you would really appreciate this show. It's a group show. There's a reception from 6 to 9 on Saturday.
Why do you think I would October. Particularly appreciate it?
Because you like doggies.
I do.
It's sort of a doggy-friendly show.
Hey, what about the Barkin' Ball?
What about the Barkin' Ball?
Isn't the Barkin' Ball?
I don't know anything about the Barkin' Ball. Well, I mean, I know something about it, but I don't know when it is.
I thought it was this weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't get anything about it.
Oh. Well, maybe I'm wrong, because I don't have anything about it either. I just had it in my head that it was this weekend.
Is this one of those events where you get to bring your dog?
Yes, and I have gone every year for the... Yeah, it's in my calendar. It's this weekend. Huh. I don't know. Call the animal shelter and find out.
Yeah.
So you get to bring your dog, and every year I bring Horatio because he's the best dog of the three dogs. The others aren't.
You know,
I mean, they're good dogs, too.
You don't dress them up, do you?
I do not.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. That's when it's time to make some phone calls. Oh, Robert Knott's play.
Yes.
There's No Place Like Homicide. First performance is on Thursday of this week. Send up of film noir from the 30s and 40s. Go figure. 7:30 p.m. over at Warehouse 21. That's this Thursday. It's the play's running through October 10th. The Thursday performance is Pay What You Wish. If you call 989-4423 or go to warehouse21.org, you can probably find out more information about that.
And I got a note from poet Valerie Martinez. New Mexico Fragments, the world premiere is Tuesday, September 28th at 7:30 at the United Church of Santa Fe on Arroyo Chamiso. Never mind.
Okay. Never mind, but don't never mind our fund drive. The phones have been ringing off the hook, and we have several people to thank. Mary
Yay.
Charlotte.
428-1393. Sorry, let me do it slow.
428-1393.
Yes, thank you.
We have Mario Manzo.
Thank you.
Robin and Sam Rodar.
Yay.
And Ellen Fox.
Yay.
And a few more. Karina Chavez.
Wonderful.
And Barbara and Ron Bloomberg.
Yay!
And they are going to be actually coming down here. I was going to say we've met the goal, which is wonderful.
We have overmet the goal.
For this hour.
We love overmeeting the goal.
Overachievers.
428-1393. 428-1393 is the number, and we're just about out of time.
That went fast today.
I know, that's because I went overtime, because we were talking about the wonder and glory that is KSFR.
Yeah.
And that is Rob DeWalt.
Yes. Yes. And Mary Charlotte.
And he's not a foodie. Oh no. He is a
I'm a food enthusiast.
he's a food enthusiast. He's an ingestible enthusiast.
Yes. I'm a paid digester.
You're a paid digester. This is getting sick. 428-1393. You've been listening to Speaking of the Arts with Rob DeWalt. Robert Knott will be back next week. We'll be talking about his play a little bit next week as well. You've been listening to Santa Fe Radio Cafe. It's just about time to go. You can reach me at Radio Cafe at KSFR. You can get the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe New Mexican. It's wonderful, full of great, great articles, wonderful writers, pictures, listings, and hasta la vista, baby. Mary Lynn LeBlanc, you rock. All the volunteers and staff at KSFR, you guys are the best. Mwah. Thank you so much for donating, and let's help us wrap up this fun drive. See you later. Adios. Bye.
Bye.